FIFA.
Hey, is Mitch available?
That's me.
Hey, Mitch, this is Zach with Bank of Cardiff. How's your week been going?
Not bad. What's up?
Good, good. Actually, just circling back around, it looks like we had mailed out a couple offers to you on the 2nd of this month, and I just wanted to follow up and see if you had received them. Offers for equipment finance and working capital.
You know, you guys are probably one of the merchant deals, daily debit and all that crap, and I'm not interested.
Yeah, we actually aren't.
Yeah.
Weekly, monthly payments, just a whole bunch of options. Did you have any needs?
Yeah, but, you know, I get so over-indated. I bet I get 100 phone calls at a minimum a week.
Mm-hmm.
Guys just like you that, you know, that
that are actual banks or people that are the last names are like financing and leasing?
Well, no. I mean, everybody, trust me, in marketing and the world that's out there now, it doesn't matter if you're a bank or not. People call themselves banks and they're not banks, and they call you up and they say, well, we're a direct lender, and then they're not. And, you know, there's so much smoke and mirrors and dishonest people out there.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more.
You know, and, you know, I don't know who Bank of Cardiff is. I know I've seen stuff come through from you guys before.
Mm-hmm.
But I've just kind of gotten...
I'm sure you're way over it.
Yeah. I mean, I've just gotten to the point to where I just... And I don't want to sound like I'm being a negative asshole, but I suppose I am.
No. I understand. I'm sure, you, like you said, you know, receive, you know, 50 pieces of mail a week and, you know, 10,
well,
20
and,
calls
and,
a day.
And 50 emails and... And, you know, they just, my phone never stops ringing.
And that's definitely got to be annoying.
It is.
I would agree there.
So the thing is, Bank of Cardiff, where are you from?
We are located in La Jolla, Southern California, San Diego.
Okay. And Bank of Cardiff, they're an actual bank?
Yes.
No branches, you're just an actual bank.
Yes, actually we have a location in Irvine and actually a location down here in San Diego. We're a privately held bank. We help small, medium-sized businesses bring on capital and equipment to grow their businesses. That's basically our primary function.
Okay, so application-wise, let's just say if I told you today, okay, I want a $200,000, just for the purpose of this discussion, I want a $200,000 line of credit.
Okay.
What are your collaterals?
You know what? Our working capital program is actually non-collateralized. It's based off of your gross annual sales, and that's how we can land 10-15% of your top line revenue. Short term,
And next question.
Okay.
So, what on a $200,000 credit line? Now, not saying that I want it all put in my bank today, but if we set
up
a $200,000 credit line, what interest rates?
Okay, great question. Because some of our products are less than a year, it's tough to annualize those products.
I wouldn't be interested in a $200,000 less than a year. I mean, my deal.
I understand. Yeah. So
know, accounts receivable line of credit, something in a line of credit, equipment line of credit. You know, $200,000 that we can access as we need. It's just like right now. I'm interested in bringing in about $55,000, a semi-truck load of plastics resin. Don't really want to take it out of my cash flow.
Mm-hmm.
So I would use that, probably be a 60-day, 90-day turnaround on it for us.
Okay.
But, you know, how do you make your credit approvals? Are you one of the guys that says, okay, we want 5 months or 6 months checking account statements, and you base everything off of checking accounts? Are you somebody who takes financials, tax returns, personal financial statements, all of those things?
It's a little bit of A and B. It's a one-page application. We do look at business bank statements. We look at the first couple pages of the business tax return. You know, that gives us enough of a snapshot of the business we need to make an offer to the business that wouldn't burden the business, you know, actually be beneficial for the business.
Yeah.
We do look at personal credit as well,
but it's not the
determining factor.
And see, here's the thing that is so fucked up about banking right now, and pardon my language.
No problem.
But I've been having long discussions because I'm in the middle of doing some recapitalization. I had some 25-year term loans on $3.5 million worth of real estate, three different pieces of real estate that hit hard calls. Yeah. 25-year amortizations with 12.5-year calls. And so I'm in the middle of doing a refinance. So as you go shopping to banks, Bank U.S. Bank, Bank of America, Umpqua Bank,
like the big five,
Washington Federal, you know, the big, well, we're a good credit risk, and we've been in business 40 years. But every time that you go out and submit an application to somebody, they do hard credit hits on you?
Yeah, we do soft pull.
Yeah, well, let me tell you. So in I've been working on doing this recap for about the last 60 or 90 days,
mm-hmm.
and I've watched my personal credit score go from a 780 to a 680.
Holy
because,
cow.
Yeah, I've taken on no new debt, no new credit.
Just all those inquiries.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And so I'm pretty disgusted with the whole thing right now. So, you know, I went in, I seen it drop from like 780 down to 710. So I get a hold of, I have a credit reporting service, three credit agents are monitoring and LifeLock, and I'm very picky about that. So I turn around and I went to him and I said, you know what? What's the problem here? Why is this happening? And he says, well, quite frankly, because you have no debt. Okay. See, I didn't have any debt. So
right.
My credit score was being hurt because I paid off all my credit cards a year ago. I had no credit cards.
Mm-hmm.
I paid off two car loans that I had through GMAC. I paid off everything. So although I have a long 38-year excellent history of credit,
mm-hmm.
because I was at like 1% utilization of credit,
yeah,
it was causing my score to free fall because I paid off debt. So
that is unbelievable.
So I go to the credit consulting division of my credit monitoring company and LifeLock that I'm using, and I says, okay, what do I need to do here? They says, go get a couple of credit, because I have corporate credit cards that I personally guarantee, but they don't report on Mitch Myers personally.
Right.
So they said, well, what you need to do is those credit cards that you closed that show that you that closed by consumer zero balance,
uh-huh.
you need to go reopen some. So I reopened two credit cards, and one of them gave me a $65,000 credit limit.
Mm-hmm.
The other one gave me a $50,000 credit limit. One was Alaskan Airlines, and one was Chase Inc. So I opened those, and they said, you need to go buy stuff on them. You need to get a balance and start revolving payments. So I opened two credit cards with $100,000, over $100,000 of credit available.
Mm-hmm.
I ran up $10,000 worth of debt. So then all of a sudden, my credit utilization, because the credit card company reports what my available credit is.
Yeah.
So it because I had such good credit and they gave me such high limit credit cards.
Right.
That then that turned around and put my utilization at 90% or 85%. And they says, well, you need to go get some revolving loans like a couple of car loans. I'm a classic car collector.
Uh-huh.
I have $1.5 million, over $1.5 million in appraised value classic cars. I've got one Corvette that's a $600,000 Corvette.
Nice.
And I have the titles to them all laying in my desk. So I took two titles to two classic cars down to my local credit union.
Uh-huh.
I says, look, I need to borrow $20,000 off of this car. Just put the money in the savings account and then debit the payment from the savings account every month. That way it's a no-brainer. I don't have to fuck with it. It's
right.
Revolving credit. Shows a credit history. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
So because I went and applied for credit cards, as they told me, and two car loans that I didn't need, and the money was in savings and is paying, you know, it's a 3.5% interest loan, so it ain't no big deal, but it's building credit, right?
Right, right.
I'm a 59-year-old guy going through this shit, trying to chase my tail like a dog in a circle, trying to figure out what the fuck the credit card companies and the credit and the banks want.
It's
so then
crazy.
They turn around and they say, well, you've taken on too much new debt in the last 60 days, so now that, along with the credit hard credit hits that are being reported on you because I'm doing a recapitalization on these loans that hit hard call dates, even though I have perfect credit history.
Right, right.
My credit score goes from 780 down to 680.
That's unbelievable. 100 points. You know, it's really bizarre how that whole thing works. And the formula for that is to have, I think it's 5 credit cards with 65% availability between those 5 credit cards. It's supposedly like the magic formula for your credit.
But
I don't believe it.
Here's the thing. I'm not going to live my fucking life to keep Bank of Cardiff or whoever the hell it is happy with some algorithm-based target number that they want me to be, because I could spend 8 hours of my productive day running my 40-year-old business that makes me $2 million a year net, trying to figure out how to get a credit score that had let you guys loan me $150,000. I'm sick of it. Dodd-Frank, the banks, go Trump. Fuck all of these people that have done all of this stuff, that have fucked up banking,
everything.
Fucked up everything so bad. And
absolutely.
Then when guys like you and me have finally hit our breaking point, and the Republican Party and Paul Ryan and that fucking John Boehner
and all the rest
of these assholes that fucked everything up, that now are sitting here saying, oh my God, Trump's evil, he's a fucking Nazi, you know. And you know what? They're not even in power anymore.
Nope.
But they're so afraid of the Paolas and all of the people that they've guaranteed that they would stay in control of it.
Yeah, yeah.
The lobbyists and everybody else. Now they're in fear of the fact that their little club that's been is going to be exposed.
Yeah.
And so now the desperation that I see out there.
It's ridiculous.
Just, and you know what? And how they twist the story. Oh, well, Donald Trump's calling for riots. I heard what Donald Trump said. I'm not fucking stupid or deaf.
Exactly. Yeah,
he said that if you guys try to steal this, I'm not going to tell them to do it. But I'm telling you, there are millions and millions of people that have had it, that are fed up, that are going to riot in the goddamn streets.
I'm not
calling for them to do it. And I'll tell you what, I'm one of them. I will pack my shit up. And I will go to Cleveland, and I will have my sign, and I'll be one of the guys, 59 years old, running a multimillion-dollar business that's going to stand out there in the street, and if they want to burn the fucking Republican Party down to the ground,
do it.
Go right ahead, because
they've completely effed everything up, turning their back on Trump, everything. They're scared that, you know, the sweet deals that they had and everything that's going on is going to be exposed. The Fed is going to be audited.
Trade imbalances, all this bullshit that he talks about. They have it so screwed up.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Our trade deficits are unbelievable. We're just getting murdered.
Yeah, and you know when he says, you know what, Mexico, we're going to put up a wall and they're going to fucking pay for it. I believe him. Because when we've got a $58 billion trade deficit, okay, cost $10 billion to build it, we're going to fix the trade deficit by $10 billion. And trust me, you foul-mouthed piece of shit ex-president of Mexico.
Fox.
You want to use the F word? Yeah, fuck you, Fox. You're paying for the wall.
Exactly. I read that, too. That made me laugh when I read that.
You know what? God has brought Donald Trump to us. Let me tell you a story. I was talking to, I called a gal yesterday or the day before because I'd gotten a tax notice from the state of Oregon. And, of course, the state of Oregon, it's all ran by fucking liberals now.
Yep.
Because all the California people got, you know, don't take this personal, but they fucked up your own state. So now they've moved up the I-5 corridor and taken over Salem and Eugene and Portland, and they fucked up our state. Now we're the second most liberal state in the United States.
Jesus.
And so, anyhow, they turn around, and this gal is 24 years, State of Oregon, Department of Revenue. Works for the State of Oregon and is a Oregon Employees Union person.
Uh-huh.
And she's talking to me on the phone, and she says, I can tell by your voice that you're probably a conservative guy. I says, that's right, I am. And she says, go Trump. And I say, pardon me? And she says, go Donald Trump. And I says, wait a minute, you're a Union State of Oregon gal? And she says, yes, I am. And I says, what in the world would inspire you to do that? And she says, well, let me tell you a story about me. She says, my name is Kathy. And you know who Ann Rule is, the author?
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay. Ann Rule wrote a book about my family and my murdered sister. Her name was Sheila Lee Belush. And the book is called With Every Breath. And she says, my father was an F-4 Phantom pilot in Vietnam. He was shot down and killed over Laos when I was 11 years old. And then my stepfather, my mother remarried. My stepfather took us to Daytona Beach, Florida, when we were 12, 13 years old. And a few years after that, my little sister was murdered by a Mexican illegal alien.
Oh, good Lord.
Who then fled across the border into Mexico.
Of course.
And we fought for years. President Obama wouldn't do shit. Nobody do shit about anything. We finally got Rick Perry, the governor of Texas, to help us, and we got the Mexican through Mexico, kidnapped him essentially, and got him back into Texas and prosecuted him and put him in prison for the rest of his life.
Good.
And Ann Rule wrote a book about my sister, my family, myself, and everything that we went through. And she says, I was raised a Democrat. And for the many, many years that I worked for the state of Oregon, the union was pounding it in our head every year. You've got to vote Democrat. The Republicans are evil. These people are evil. They're going to take away your pensions, and they're going to do this, and they're going to do that. And she says, you know, I sat there and just kind of fell into the mode of it.
Yeah.
And she says, then along came Donald Trump. And he woke me up about this. And when he started talking about the border and the killers and the murders and what they were doing to these people, and it had happened to my sister and to my family. And she says, I lived it. And the more I listened to him, the more I believed it. And she says, I turned in my Democratic voting card, joined and became an independent, and I'm voting for Donald Trump.
Good for her.
And she says, I went to a union meeting for the state of Oregon. There was a mandatory meeting where they told us we had to vote for Hillary Clinton and we had to this. And she says, I stood up right in the middle of it. And I says, that's bullshit. Don't tell me what I'm going to think. You didn't have a sister murdered by an illegal alien. I did. This is what I believe. And they says, you sat down. You could lose your job. And she says, I dare you to fire me over this.
Jesus.
I dare you to fire me over this. And she says, and the rest of my family and my mother and my stepfather have all now joined the independent party, and they're all voting for Donald Trump. So when they sit there and they can sit and say, oh, well, Trump's this and Trump that, those are the people that are now showing up that are causing the vote to be up 40, 50, 60% over what it was the last election. People are fucking pissed. They've had it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I, for one, am extraordinarily pissed. And the funny part is, not necessarily funny, is that this has been going on for decades, and it's just finally being exposed, but it's gotten to a point where there's a tipping point. If it keeps going, you know, even further one direction, we're going to be screwed for the rest of our lives.
Forever. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, common sense people, and that's what I liked about, look, I used to be a right-wing hard nut job maybe 10 years ago. I mean, I was the absolute pro-life, pro-this, you know,
hard
right. And I own a brewery and a restaurant. You know, I employ about 35, 36 people over there. And I've had gay kids working for me and fucking lesbians and illegal, but you know, my cook is Carlos, he's an El Salvadorian guy, became a U.S. legal U.S. citizen. Mm-hmm. Took him 10 years, but he's been a legal citizen now for 14 years. And so working in and around that and being in business like I am, I employ about 55 people between our different companies and buying real estate and banking and all these different things that I do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, very successful. And I sat here, and I've got a granddaughter and, you know, a couple of daughters and what have you. And I sat here, and even I'm pro-life. But and I used to be hardcore pro-life. But now I'm pro-life, common sense. Look,
yes, exactly.
If my granddaughter was raped,
you can't
I'd
force her
to
have,
have an abortion.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Ted Cruz wants you to have your granddaughter carry that.
That guy's a friggin' idiot.
I know he is. And, you know, that fucking Glenn Beck, I used to like watching Glenn Beck and listening to Glenn Beck. And then about 4 years ago, he went fucking ballistic. He's crazy.
Yeah, he's batshit crazy. I don't know what happened.
Well, yeah, what makes... Here's my question to Glenn Beck, because all us Donald Trump supporters are crazy and lunatics, and we want to burn the Constitution and the country down, and, you know, of course, he called Mitt, or he called that fucking John Kasich yesterday, which is the only thing I agree with. He called him a son of a bitch.
Good.
But, you know, here's the thing with Glenn Beck, I would ask him, what makes you right and me wrong?
Right.
Am I not entitled to have an opinion?
Exactly. I don't get it. I don't know. I've stopped actually really kind of following him, listening to him, just because.
Oh, I don't listen to him at all. Yeah, I turn him off if he comes on.
Yeah, he went off the deep end a while back, and I just, you know, I've had enough of it.
Yeah, yeah. And see, the thing is, like you and me, because we both sound like we're the same way down the road.
Yeah.
You know, and gay marriage, look, I'm not for gay marriage. I think a marriage should be between a man and a woman. And I got gay friends. I got a guy I bought my house from. Him and another guy lived together in the house for 17 years. They're old people. They never was out wearing pink boas like these fuckers today in the St. Patrick's Day parade
right.
in their fucking pink thongs, you know, in front of a bunch of kids acting like a bunch of perverts. Look, if you want to be gay and you want to go have a guy and have a union or a marriage union between you guys, I don't give a shit.
Yeah,
you want
just
to go pack somebody's fudge, have fun. Okay.
Just don't do it. Don't beat in my face, you know?
Yeah. I don't go do shit like that with my female partner
right.
in public. Don't fucking try to force it on me.
I agree with you 100%.
You know, so I liked when Trump come to the, when he said, I'm conservative, but I'm a common sense conservative.
And that makes sense. That makes perfect sense because it leaves you a little leeway. You don't have to stick to, you know, strict this and that. You have a little wiggle room there because not everything's perfect.
Look, we do not live in the same hard right world as when Ronald Reagan was president.
No, I agree 100%.
Airplanes hadn't flied into the World Trade Center building.
Mm-hmm.
The Mexicans were coming across the border growing lettuce and taking a few jobs.
Right. Okay? Yeah.
In 1983 in Hermiston, Oregon, where I'm from, when Ronald Reagan was president, our Hispanic population was less than 5%. Do you know what it is today?
Probably upwards
60%. Of 60% in our public schools, with 95% of that 60% on free lunches, free shit, free everything.
And we don't get a thanks for that.
No. No, and I go to the grocery store and stand in line behind these fuckers with cart after cart of groceries, paying for them with EBT cards, and then I follow them outside and I watch them put their groceries in a Cadillac fucking Escalade that's got 20-inch fucking wheels with spinners on it and tinted windows.
And it just makes you sick. It makes me sick.
I fucking had it. I mean, I've had it.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just like banking, and that's why I've got about a half a bristle up when people like you call me. Look, you're just trying to make a living, and you're out here trying to do it. But, you know, I mean, the last time I really ever did, because I had good cash flow and I make money, and I didn't need a lot of banking.
Mm-hmm.
And my real estate deals that I did were back in 2001 or 2002. And they were 25-year deals with 12.5-year calls on them. So they didn't come up due until about October of this last year.
Yeah.
They hit the calls. And so I hadn't been out and borrowed any substantial amounts of money. Look, I got a $12 million net worth. And maybe that's not a lot in the world you deal with, but to me it's for a guy that has a high school education, I didn't do too bad. I got $1.5 million worth of fucking cars in my garage.
That's substantial to me. I'm a blue-collar guy.
But the bottom line is, I hadn't really run a commercial real estate loan or a commercial loan through the bank in... can you scan that stuff, Nicole? I hadn't done anything since the recession and since Dodd-Frank.
Uh-huh. So it's been a while, obviously.
Look, when I bought two of these properties, one of them for $1.1 million and one of them for $1.6 million, when I bought those properties, I walked into my bank in 2001, 2002, filled out a credit app, and said, here's what I want to buy. They ordered the appraisal, and I closed in less than a month, 3 weeks.
Nice.
I have been fucking around since October. October, November, December, January, February, and now we're into March. 5.5 months to just simply refinance these loans.
That's crazy.
And back when I borrowed the money originally, I probably had $1 million net worth.
Wow, so a lot has changed.
And it's harder today than it was then, and I'm worth 10 times more.
It's absolutely ridiculous, and it makes no sense. Yeah, I talked with
And I've got 10 years of perfect credit history on those loans. You can't. It's almost impossible.
You know, I talk with business owners all day that have excellent credit, high 700s, you know, great bank statements, and they're, you know, traditional banks, you know, the Wells Fargo's, the Bank of America's, they're not lending money right now. It's just
and the only way they will lend it
if you already have it.
Is with an SBA 7A with like an 85 or 90% guarantee.
Mm-hmm.
Or a USDA B&I loan that's a 90% guarantee. So they have no risk.
Exactly.
And then the cost of that is $30,000-$40,000 a year out of the borrower's pocket. So they get to make all the interest.
Yeah,
the state or the federal government takes all the risk, and I pay for it.
It's insane. It's infuriating. It is absolutely infuriating.
Which is where Trump says, we got to tear down Dodd-Frank. It's got to go in the garbage can. We've got to redo the banking. We've got to. You hear the cliche politicians. Oh, we have to get money freed up for Main Street America. You fucking think? What, are you stupid?
Yeah, it's.
And then you get some idiot like Marco Rubio who bounced a $93,000 check on a boat that he bought. You know.
Don't get me started on that guy.
Yeah.
I could go all day.
And Ted Cruz, who gets money from his wife, who works for a big Wall Street bank.
Oh, and the Fed, too.
On a loan that was a fraudulent, crooked loan.
I just read that the Fed is giving him kicking down money for his campaign as well.
Yeah, I read that, too. Yeah.
Makes me
dandy,
sick.
Huh?
Yeah, yeah. But, Mitch, I don't want to take up any more of your time. I certainly appreciate the conversation. It's nice to talk with someone that feels the same way I do, honestly.
It's, you know, it's far and few between. The whole thing is stupid.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't know. You know, I don't really need anything right now.
Okay.
It's not that I don't need it.
But I understand where you're coming from.
I don't need it so bad as to take the time to do it.
I understand.
Because the aggravation of it is just beyond...
Well, you don't need it right now.
No.
But
I'm sitting here right now with $1.5 million additional brewery project sitting across the street that I'm staring at the blank lot that I wanted to be under construction right now. But when this whole anti-Trump, these people like Paul Ryan and John Boehner and Mitch McConnell and all of these assholes in the Republican Party, believe that they are so stupid that they would vote against Trump and not support him and let Hillary win.
Well, they're just pawns in the whole globalist scheme, basically.
Right.
I know that they probably have dirt on all of them, so they're scared shitless for that dirt to be revealed, so they're going to do whatever they're told. It's my understanding. That's the way I look at it.
Right. And here's
screw
my
those
point,
guys.
Though. Here's my point. If they do that, and Hillary Clinton's president with her socialistic views.
Oh, I'm moving out of this
goddamn
country.
And my taxes go up. I'm not going to build this additional property.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do this. And in fact, what I'm probably going to do is sell my shit and go out of business and retire.
That's probably the best move, to be honest with you. I talk to a lot of business, like I said, every day, and a lot of them are waiting to make any moves until what happens with the presidency. It's really, you know, dictating what they're going to do next. And
right.
People are just sitting on their hands, just waiting to see what's going to happen.
That's exactly right. And, you know, so this fucking Republican Party, you know, I kind of look at it almost, I don't know how old you are, but I lived through John Kennedy in that when he was assassinated.
I'm 42.
Yeah, well, I was just a kid. I was in first grade when Kennedy was killed. But my dad worked construction. And he was a union guy, and he was a Democrat and a Kennedy supporter. And what happened is John Kennedy and the Democratic Party was probably more in alignment with Donald Trump today.
Yes,
in 1963 when Kennedy was killed.
Kennedy was going to go along with the program. That's why they killed him. Kennedy was going to reveal stuff that they didn't want revealed.
Exactly. And so the thing that I look at is what happened then is the Reagan Democrats, the Kennedy Democrats, the party grew away from those people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's went not only left, but now it's extreme left with Hillary and fucking Bernie Sanders,
Jesus
Mr.
Christ.
Free shit. And so the you know, that party changed that way. And what happened was is the Republican Party was right, and then it went hard right.
Yes.
But instead of the Republican Party adjusting itself, it's like when McCain lost and when Romney lost. Mm-hmm. Romney didn't even know what fucking the internet was, hardly, and Twitter or anything else.
He completely blew that whole thing. He
did.
He made so many mistakes.
And you look at Trump right now, the guy spent $2 million in Florida when his competition spent $500 million against him.
Yeah.
And he fucking crushed him in Florida.
It's awesome. It's absolutely awesome.
And he's using social media, the news, Instagram. Have you seen that video? You love that fucking video with Putin. Have you watched it?
No. What is it?
Oh, my God. Go to Donald Trump's Instagram.
Uh-huh.
And it shows, first it's in black, and it says, you can go onto Trump's Twitter account and get a link to it. It was all over the news this morning. But it shows the Democratic Party something, something, and it says, do you want to have, or do you want to be a laughingstock or a pawn or something like that? And then it flashes over and it shows Putin in a karate suit throwing this fucking guy down on the mat. And then the next picture shows a guy in an ISIS outfit pointing a gun at the camera.
Uh-huh.
And then it comes in black with big white print, and it says the Democrats have a perfect plan to defeat the evils of the world. And then it flips over, and it's got Hillary Clinton barking like a dog. And then as soon as she's done barking like a dog, it's got Vladimir Putin at the end of it laughing. You've got to go watch it. You
I'm
have
go
to
check
go watch it.
I'm actually clocking out right now. That's the first thing I'm going to do when I get outside.
Oh, my God. It is so fucking hilarious.
I will
All
check
right.
that out.
Hey, stay in touch, man.
Absolutely, Mitch. You take care. I appreciate
All right.
your time today.
All right. See you. Bye.
Right, bye.